Welcome to the Grace Hour. This Monday, Easter Monday edition of the Grace Hour, when we are here, he is risen. We are living in the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ today. What an awesome way to live our lives, right? And the Grace Hour is a show that dives into the daily challenges and that a believer faces and teaches us how to learn about our faith and a practical way. And Easter Monday, what an incredible way to live our lives, right? Here we are.
Weather was great.
Beautiful.
A little bit of rain on Sunday.
Beautiful. Some things are predictable, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that was predictable was there were people with their best, and their Sunday best. We saw a lot of faces we don't see throughout the year.
Hats and all.
And,
you had a nice hat on for the Sunday Easter service. You only break it out once a year.
Oh, Lord. And we talk, I got to do the communion Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
great job.
Yeah, it was encouraging to me.
The more you do it, the better you get.
That was great.
But for the 9 a.m. or for the 11?
9 a.m.
Okay.
When we're thinking about that communion, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what better thing to talk about than the body of Christ given for us, right? The body and the blood of Jesus Christ given for us, that we would have, be partakers, right? And, it's beautiful. And then, of course, our Sunday dinners, all the family time and the fellowship around the truth and the word and in this world that we live in where every holiday has lost its true value, thank God that we're focused on
eternal life gets exchanged for Easter eggs.
Exactly.
Cadbury
exactly.
eggs.
Yes.
Which I'm not going to pass up. But at the same time, I'll take the blood of Christ and eternal life.
Yes. The great thing is we can partake in the Cadbury eggs without worrying about it affecting our eternal status.
Yeah, right. So, might get us there a little quicker.
You probably will. Had a doctor's appointment this morning, as a matter of fact.
So, how are you looking?
All right. Let's change the topic.
So, was it good, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
Don't you think we have another Easter and you can think that people come and it's Easter Sunday and it's a holiday? And holidays, obviously, holy days, separate days, there's only one a year. And you can maybe be a little familiar with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important leading up to Easter just to be able to be reminded. We had the Easter play, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. And then we had services and just to be able to get in your heart again, mm-hmm. that if I have one last Easter, I really want to celebrate it and just worship him for what he's given us.
Yeah. We are so hyper-focused on the reason for the season. And we can say that honestly, we could say it about Christmas. We could say it's beautiful. We celebrate it and we recognize it on the calendar. And we don't even know if our calendars are correct or incorrect. But what do we know? We know that the focus of our time is on Jesus Christ's resurrection. And the death, burial, and resurrection, where all my hope comes from, right? And thank God that we don't look at it just as this ugly occurrence. It is, the suffering and the pain and the excruciation of Calvary is something that's unbearable to look at in a sense. But, when we say Good Friday, right? Good Friday. How can you say Good Friday? What's wrong with you people? You say Good Friday and we say, yeah, because Sunday's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And without that death, without that suffering, without that burial, we don't have the life and the hope that we have. So, beautiful.
Do you know
time.
This year was actually, there's two dates that they think, either 30 AD or 33 AD. And so they haven't narrowed down what Passover would be. And so this year, Good Friday was April 3rd. And they say one plausible date is AD 30, April 5th, AD 30 could be the possible date that Christ rose, which was this year.
Well, AD 30.
AD.
Yeah, I thought you said AD 30.
No. AD 30. Sorry.
Yeah, AD 30. Speaking of 30, if you want,
yes.
Feeling kind of old. So the 5th
mm-hmm.
was my daughter's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Her 30th.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the beard gets a little grayer.
For you, not for her. Come on now.
No, thankfully.
The beard is a little bit grayer for you.
Not a beard. Thankfully, she takes
off the brown in that category. 30 years. So 96.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and it's...
So 95, I was in your car. We're going down to Chick Webb, and you told me that you were going to have a daughter.
Yeah.
Wow, 1995.
Do you remember that?
Holy smokes. Yeah, yep. Vividly.
Yep, and at the time I was...
Never seen you cry like that before. Crying and laughing at the same time.
I think when the Red Sox won the World Series is when I really cried the most. But anyways, we're here to tell you today...
We're talking about the Lord's will.
We're talking about the Lord's will, and... You know, this is a big subject. What is the will of God? And we talk right. about it in the school, just start maybe on a really practical note. Mm-hmm. We say, is it possible to know 100% what the will of God is for your life? Mm-hmm. You know, and I ask a teenager, can you know God's will 100% for your life? And of course, that's an intimidating question. And I would say, well, no, maybe we don't know what the will of God is flat out. But what can we know? Well, we can know 75% of the will of God. Mm-hmm. You know, these are quirk numbers, so don't hold me to them. But 75% of the will of God, well, what do you mean? I know that the Bible teaches me a lot about things that I should do or things that I can have, inheritances that are mine, right? Pray without ceasing, study to show yourself approved, a workman. How about forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, right? All of these things, esteem one another higher than yourself. These are the things that God has given to us as our inheritance here. And when I live in that 75%, which is just finding out who is God, what does God mean to me? What is his purpose for me in this life? How mm-hmm. do I approach life? Right? Those are the 75%. Mm-hmm. But if I'm living in the 75%, he can direct me in the 25%. Mm-hmm. Right? Who do I marry? How many children am I going to have? Am I going to have children? Am I going to go on the mission field? What am I going to do for my life and my job? Like, those are things that get revealed to us when we're walking in the will of God. Mm-hmm. So can we know 100% of the will of God? Maybe we don't know it, but we know how to walk in him, and then he leads us and directs us in it. And that's how we discover the will of God for our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Matthew chapter 28, we're called to disciple people.
That's right.
So if someone came to you and said, what is the will of God?
Yeah.
What would you say to him?
I would say that we would know him, mm-hmm. you know, that we would know him first and foremost, that he's, you know, go make disciples, teach all nations. I love about that 28, 19, and 20. I love the fact that he says, lo, I am with them always, right? Like this, that those little words to me are the most powerful, potent words we could ever experience, because everything in this life is different when it's with Christ. Right, we suffer. If we are in a crisis, we are feeling very alone, we are away. If you are in Christ, if Christ is with us, then we have another whole entire experience than the person who's without Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, we go through illness, it's with Christ, we understand. There's a reason behind it, but there's an end that's going to be in front of us. The person without Christ lives in fear and suffering and challenges. So when we go and make disciples and teach all nations about Christ, the fact that he wants to have give them fellowship, access to his throne, you know, as we saw in the Easter play and in this time, that veil which separated us from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom, and we are given access to his throne of grace.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So we talk about fundamentals.
Yes.
With everything. Fundamentals are seemingly boring.
Yeah.
Unimportant.
Yeah.
Give me the good stuff. Who am I going to marry?
Yeah.
What kind of job?
Yes.
What car? Yeah. What house? How many kids? All that sort of thing. We think that's really the important stuff.
Right.
But we have to go to the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are in Scripture, like you said, the 75%. Mm-hmm. That's what God is really concerned with. So the first one, salvation.
Yes.
That he's willing, 1 Timothy 2, that he's willing that all would be saved. So salvation is number one.
Yep.
Number two would be sanctification, so we become more like Christ. It's his will that we obey, to have obedience in our life, that he wants us to be able to be a person that we no longer serve ourselves, or we don't serve sin, but we serve somebody, we serve him. So we want to learn to be obedient. We want also for prayer in our life. Like, if you just think of the fundamentals of... Yep. Salvation, number one, sanctification, number two, walking in holiness, that he wants us to be a holy people set apart. Then he wants us to be an obedient people so that we're able to listen to him. And then when he commissions something to us, that we're able to actually see it through by faith. Mm-hmm. He wants us to, I think this is a big one. He wants us to be spirit filled.
Yes.
Which we can very easily overlook. Ephesians chapter 5 gives you that list to be spirit-filled. It's a command, so we can say that's the will of God. So when you're spirit-filled, you're going to end up being a person who has the scripture in mind, and then you're going to be a thankful person. But here's a big one. You're going to be a person that submits.
Yes.
So you're going to be submitted under the word, and as a result of that, you're going to be submitted to other people. So submission is a big one. And then if you have that going on in your life, you have your fundamentals. And I would just say with any kind of skill set that a person has, the more they do it, the more they go back to the fundamentals and get really good at that. It's funny, like in the golf world, when you hear the best players in the world and you hear, what is your secret? They always go back to the simple basic stuff of, I just work on the fundamentals. Like when you first learn the game of golf, you go to a golf instructor, he's going to teach you how to line up and aim and grip it and where's your ball position and all that sort of thing, which seems somewhat boring. But the more you get good at it, you realize if I don't have good fundamentals, the other stuff's not going to really matter. So in scripture, like we're saying, the fundamentals, what's laid out. And then in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the will of God. And it says that if we have the scripture renewing our minds, we're going to have discernment to know what God's will is. Yes. And that chapter is also talking about spiritual gifts. What does God have for me in his kingdom? Well, if you're consumed with the fundamentals and then your mind is being renewed, then you're going to have a level of discernment that you're going to know how to utilize the gifts that he's given you, so that you could be useful in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And when that happens, you understand this is where I'm supposed to be because I fit. I am a hand and a glove. This is exactly what my skill set for the kingdom of God matches. And this is where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. And it's awesome when you're in the will of God, because you don't want to be anywhere else.
That's right.
And I'm sure you probably experienced that being on the mission field. You come home and you're home for a little bit and it's great and you're in your house and you're living in America and maybe in some ways it's easier, but you're thinking, I just want to go back to where God wants me to be.
Yeah, there's something about being in the presence of God, right, that manifests the power of God in our lives. And we've heard messages on that in the past. And it's interesting that you say that about basically the 75 and the 25, right? We walk with God. Micah 6:8 says that we walk humbly, right? We are submitted to God. We do justly. But those are things that happen when our walk with God is engaged. If we're not walking with God, we're not walking humbly, because there's no submission of ourselves. And I think about things, you know, the golf illustration, going back to the beginning and when you learned the fundamentals, and, you know, I was self-taught and my initial teachings were not so great. So I became really good at doing what I knew how to do, but it had a very limited, it doesn't go beyond a certain, you can't. And I even remember having a conversation with you. Hey, can you give me a few tips to straighten this out? And I think you, in summary, just said, you know, I think you should really enjoy the game you have. Because probably to relearn it would be an endeavor. And what's the purpose, which I appreciate because I understand it. But the fundamentals, when we think about a simple thing, is this the will of God for my life or not? Like, we don't have to divorce that from the character of God. When you know the character of God, it almost is self-explanatory, right? Well, I don't know exactly. And I remember having a conversation with your dad. I was thinking about going to the mission field in a country in Eastern Europe. I think it was Czech Republic. And then that dried up. And then it was like, what am I going to do? And he says, well, go to Hungary. And I was like, well, I knew I was called to go to Czech Republic, but I don't know if I'm called to go to Hungary. And he had a very simple explanation about it. And he's like, well, okay, first of all, God's not going to get mad if you win souls in the wrong country, right? Mm-hmm. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we just go and see what God has for us, right? And if we believe God, and if we think with God, then the details of what happens will be up to God. Mm-hmm. And it kind of took the pressure off me to try to, you know, we could almost be paralyzed by, if I don't know the the exact thing that God wants for me right now, then I can't move forward. And it's like contrary to what God wants. Mm-hmm. God wants us to be relaxed, right? We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That word rejoice actually means to stop and to be enjoying, like, and relaxed in who God has made me and what I'm doing in that situation. And as I do that,
that's a great word.
As I relax and rejoice in what I'm doing, right? That's how I understand the will of God. And, you know, what as I'm moving forward, I'm taking steps of faith. God can direct me. God will direct me. And I always give the illustration of if you're in a car and it's not moving. And I know maybe nowadays the steering's set up a little differently, but when I was a kid and you got in the car and you tried to move the steering wheel when it wasn't started, you could move it, but barely. And you could hear the tires screeching on the cement underneath, and it was impossible to move the car, right? But when you're going downhill and you're doing 40 miles an hour, which I never did more than that with you in the car, right? If you're doing 40 miles an hour.
Depends if you have to get from Baltimore City up to Havre de Grace in T-minus 22 minutes.
Yes, I think I might remember a situation where I told the golf team when we were going from the golf course to my softball game, because you guys weren't going home. You were coming to my softball game first.
And you had a Corolla. Somehow you fit seven teenagers in the back seat.
And I'm driving saying, guys, don't ever drive like this in your entire lives. But anyways, when you're in motion and there's an adjustment, it's a simple adjustment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember my nephew when I was driving, when he was a little kid, he grabbed the steering wheel when I was driving. He was sitting in the seat between us and the car swerved. And I was thinking, don't touch the steering wheel, right? Because when you're in motion, it's very easy to direct.
Ryan.
name will remain anonymous, but don't you think like being paralyzed, you have no way of going. Mm-hmm. You're stuck in your tracks because you're questioning what is God's will for my life. God's will is that we would seek his kingdom first, right? That we would not make our own opinion. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Like, we don't have to worry about our own opinion. We can think with God and move forward, and then he'll adjust us along the way.
If you just keep it to the fundamentals, you can work on that for your whole entire life. And I love that illustration, because it could be that people are just sitting and they're just thinking, what should I be doing? Or who's going to notice? Or who's going to ask me to do something? Or whatever it might be.
Yes.
It doesn't really work that way. It body at rest, stay, stays at rest. Yes. So if you can get moving in faith in the things that are listed, which is the word, which is love, which is being spirit filled, which is being submitted to each other. If you're just submitted to other people in your life, that you put yourself, Philippians 2, you put yourself under them in the sense that you want to serve them, you're going to be very busy. And then you're going to realize the gift set that you have for God, and then you're going to go with it. And I think when it comes to the practical things, because there's 1,000 different options that we have. Where am I going to live? House, cars, who am I going to marry? Yeah. All those sorts of things. If you get the first part right, I'm going to say this, and I think it's true. Make your own decision. Make your decision, because you're going to know that your desires are in line with his will. And it says in the Psalm that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It's going to be that your will is aligned with his will. So then your desires are going to be his desires. So then you can have confidence in making that decision.
Yeah.
So if you have those things right, the fundamentals, then there's a lot of room that he's going to be able just to give you discernment that I should go that way. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's really not that difficult.
No. To make it practical again, which I seem to be good at, when you're hitting a fade, or let's say it's dog leg right, and you got to go around the corner, right? My goal was always to go over the trees because I wanted to be a macho, and I'd lose, every time I would lose. Then I started
to realize, you won at that game.
Yeah.
I did win it.
But I think I remember, some conversations where it's like, if you play a little fade here and you lay up short of the green, you're going to be in good shape to get on and in. And at least
make it a lot easier.
Yeah, make it a lot easier. But also, I think there comes a time when you get the confidence because your foundation, your fundamentals, that you are equipped to make decisions, and then you're not living in fear about it, right? It might not go perfect every time, but it's you're in the motion of what God wants for your life. And I think that's where, you know, like we open our mouths and something amazing comes out of it, not because we're amazing, but because we are prepared by being in the Word and listening and being, you know, how faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We come to the church service, we hear the message, we apply it to our lives, we agree with it. It becomes engrafted Word in our life. And then we start operating in the fruit of it. Not, we don't even have to think about it. It's just part of who we are. So then something comes along, an opportunity, and we say, hey, look at that. There's an opportunity. I don't think you even recognize there's an opportunity unless you're walking in the fundamentals that you're talking about, right? Somebody comes along and you have a conversation and you realize this is an opportunity to share the gospel, right? Because I'm in tune with God's will for my life, which is I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you doing it? You know, do we have times where we do this on purpose, like we're going to an event to soul win, but also times when it's just put in front of us along the way in the taxi ride or, you know, at the grocery store. And I remember a story in Hungary I was looking for a piece of medical equipment and drove through the crazy Budapest traffic for an hour. Got to this place that I called and asked, do you have this piece of medical equipment? Yes, I do. Get there, and then the guy goes, oh, you want it for that kind of machine? Well, we don't have that here. That's at another place across the city. And I'm losing my mind because I just gave up an hour of my very important time. And I was with Yako Ati, and I walked out. I said, I'll be outside, because I was steaming. And he stayed inside for a minute. And then like 5 minutes later, I went in, or 10 minutes later, and I'm like, where is this guy? What is he doing? I walked back in ready to say, can we go? I got important things to do. And he says to me, hey, Pastor Bear, I want you to meet her new brother in the Lord. You just received Christ. I was like immediately smitten in my heart, because I realized this was just an opportunity God put before us. But mm-hmm. I was so concerned with my own self mm-hmm. that I missed the opportunity. And thankfully, he didn't. And it gave me a great lesson. Like every situation is an opportunity in God. Whether we wanted it to be that way or not is secondary. But it happens because God allows it to happen. And when we're living in the fundamentals, then the will of God is very obvious to us.
In mind renewal, just being renewed in your mind. That's why we talk about it so much. Yes. It's powerful. Yeah. And when he says that, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed mm-hmm. by the renewing of your mind. The word transformation is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 17 when Christ was transfigured. Mm-hmm. So it means that his deity came out past his humanity. So the Word of God has the ability to do that. And then our new nature is coming out into the world. And I would just say that when we're living that way and we're just going back to those fundamentals, then our life just opens up that we're very content. That's another thing, that it's the will of God for us to be content. And I don't think that he's going to put us in places. It might be hard. It might be difficult. It's going to stretch us, whatever it might be, but we're going to be content in what we're doing yeah. because we're going to see eternal value in it. We're not going to be doing it for people, but we're going to be doing it for the Lord. It's a mission that the Lord gives us, whatever it is. If I'm working a 9-to-5 and I'm raising a family and I'm raising my children in the Lord, could you ask for a bigger project or a bigger mission in life to have a family, and your responsibility yeah, is reflect yeah. Christ to them? That's going to be an amazing adventure. It's a faith adventure. Sometimes we think that our faith adventure has to be this big thing. Majority of life is just small things no one sees, but we're doing it before the Lord and we're very content. And I love people, the young guys in our church that are raising their families. They're very content when you're with them. They're happy. They're content to be a part of the church. On the outside looking in, you're thinking, you're not necessarily responsible for that much in the church and all of that. It's not the point.
Yeah.
They're responsible for exactly what God's called them to do, and they're yes. a part of the church, and they're very thankful for what they're doing.
And it's a call. I remember my wife being on the mission field, and we were raising our daughter. She was 8 years old when we went to the mission field. I remember another youngster at the mission field around that age. But when we went there, you know, her task was a lot of times being at home with my daughter, helping mm-hmm. her with her homework, the unglorious part of missions life. But it was absolutely vital. Like if she's not there doing that with me, I can't teach in the Bible school. I can't be in the church plant in Szolnok or in Vienna. Like these are things that are incredibly valuable, incredibly valuable. Now, the devil would like to tell us that they're mundane or that they don't really have, but And I do. I think actually even when we think about the devil and his role in the will of God, and you think about the earliest appearance of transgression, right, in the Garden of Eden, questioning God's will. Did God really say that? Is that really what he wants for your life? He just doesn't want, like, this is the trick of the devil, is to constantly get us to be thinking outside of what the will of God is for our lives. But it's very it's an awesome thing when we can think in the details of our life, you know, what is God's will for my life? Like, what is it? Well, he just wants us to walk justly and be submitted to him and be humble. And to do the will of God is really to experience him in our everyday mundane things in our life. And yeah, sure. Are there big times of decision in our life? Yes, they are. Do we have to go to him and make steps of faith? Yes. Did we decide at one point we're going to take our family, we're going to get on an airplane, and we're going to go overseas and we're going to live? Yes. And it was the greatest time of our life because we did it by faith in the will of God. And when it was time to come home, we had to do it also by faith and in the will of God. And that's another season in our lives. Mm-hmm. So I think this week we're going to talk, the different hosts are going to talk a lot about the will of God, but the fundamentals is the place where it all starts.
Fundamentals. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, God calls him out, doesn't tell him too much, yes. But by faith he left. He gave him a command. And the first command was leave your family, leave your city, which he didn't do perfectly because he took his father and he took Lot too, which caused him some issues, but he was learning. But Genesis 12, you see God appears to him. It's this revelation that he has. So he actually sees this Christophany. He sees mm-hmm. Christ appear to him. And I love that because when you do things by faith, God's going to reveal more to you and it's going to give you more of assurance mm-hmm. of what that initial calling was, which is extremely hard. You have to leave your family. You have to leave your city, your comforts. That's extremely hard, but he did it. And he did by faith, and then God showed up, revealed a little bit more to him, and then brought him to Canaan, and he showed him Canaan, and he showed him the three sections, the north, the central, the south, and he said, this is all going to be yours, but Hebrews 11 says these patriarchs, they die not fully receiving, yes. but they were looking for that city that was made by God. So a lot of our faith journey is just trust with the little that we know, and I guess we're just stressing in this episode that we just want to stress the important fundamentals of salvation, sanctification, holiness, obedience, be spirit-filled. Yeah. If you get those right, you will be transformed in your desires. It happens. All of a sudden, I want to do that. I don't know why. It's a change in my heart, but I have a desire, just like I had a desire for sin before that was so strong. I don't have it anymore because that desire has now been changed to something that is holy. And I can compare it with scripture and say, am I walking the way that the Lord wants a believer to walk? And I say, I think so. I'm just being filled by the Spirit and I'm just growing in it and I have a desire for it. Now, who should I marry? Well, that person that you're going to marry is going to be aligned with what you see in scripture and what's in your own heart. And you're going to be drawn to a woman that has the same desires that you have, which is coming from the Lord. And he makes it very, very easy. It just fits. It's not a struggle. And I remember being a single guy and people would say that and they would make it so simple. Don't worry about it. Just be consumed with what you have going on right now. And then that woman's going to show up in time. When you try to do it yourself, it becomes maybe frustrating or you're striving to do it. If you do it God's way, it's actually quite simple. Yeah. And those old people that told me that or the married people that told me that, they were right.
Hey, I think I told you that.
Yeah, you did. But you were young. No. Some old, some middle-aged, some young.
No, I mean, it is true. You're running the race in life. And all of a sudden next to you, it's like, wow, there's somebody that's running along with me that has the same values and the same desire to find out what is God's will for their life. And then it's a joy, right? It's a joy and it's not strife and it's not struggling. And, there are some clear things that the Bible, and this is the reason that we say get to know the Bible. This isn't just a social club where we tell each other good thoughts and, hey, try this and it'll really work. But no, here's what God's word says. And this is why he says it. And this is how he says it and to who he says it. And when we can grasp those things for our lives, we can see them. We can walk in those things, those truths. Then it opens up an incredible world, because who would plan our lives the way that we plan, that they turned out? You know, I never thought in a million years I would have this life. I would be doing these things with these people. And God says, well, I had the whole thing planned out. Just waiting for you to entertain me, right?
There's a, I've said it before, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, because the other day we went down to DC, my kids. We try to take them down once a year. We just go to the Smithsonian just because it's free and you can park right out front. But my kids don't want to go in the art museum. I mean, what kid wants to go in an art museum? Most adults don't want to go in an art museum, me included at times. But there's one painting, there's four of them, Thomas Cole, Voyage of Life. And I said to my wife, I said, let's just park right in front if there's a spot. So I prayed. I said, Lord, just I pray you can give me a parking spot right in front of the art museum. And then we have to tell our kids that we have to go to the bathroom so I can run in there real quick and I can check out this painting. And so lo and behold, directly in front of the steps, there was a spot that opened up. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, kids, I got to go to the bathroom. So we ran in there, not knowing, they didn't know it was the art museum. And I just ducked and I just went to the little exhibit with Thomas Cole, the Voyage of Life, and it's four paintings. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. If you're at home and you're listening, you can pull it up. But it's four paintings, and the first two, the whole idea is there's a river in all four paintings, and it's a boat, a canoe, and the man, it's the steps of life. The first one is childhood. He comes out of this cave. He's a little baby, but there's an angel that's in the boat with him, but the baby obviously can't comprehend it. It's an angel. The second one is adolescence. It's when he's young, and the painting, the angel's off to the side. He can't see it. There we go. Yeah, it's beautiful. And the second one, he sees this amazing kingdom in front of him. And mm-hmm. you can see that he's stretching out his hand and mm-hmm. he wants it. And what 20-year-old doesn't have huge plans and futures? And he just sees the world and he just sees all the possibilities. And he says, I want it. He has a desire for it. But the third one is called manhood, and it's the darkest one. Wow. And in the painting down in DC, you should go, if anyone's listening, go down and see it if you're in the area. But there's demons that are up in the clouds, and then the waters are rapids and everything is dead. And that's called manhood. Wow. I remember seeing that for the first time a few years back, and I just go, that's me. And there's like terror on his face, and he's feeling like he's going to die, and he has all this spiritual opposition. But up in the left-hand corner, there's an angel looking down at him. Mm. And then the fourth one is called old age, and he finally dumps out into a big bay, and it's peaceful, and it's the first time that he sees the angel. And then up in the upper left-hand corner, he sees these angels coming down, and it's his entrance that he's going to go into heaven. And it's just a beautiful, there's so much in there, and there's story in each one of them. But the point of it is that we all go through all of those stages, and we all feel as though I want the world or I want this for my life. But God sends in tribulations, and he sends in hard just tasks in our life that can beat us up and it can break us. And we just want to get to the point that at a young age or middle age or older age, that our eyes are just focused. Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going after the cities of this world or the things of this world, because we'll be conformed to that. And that will change our desire to want that.
Yes.
But rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that your eyes are going to behold things that are invisible to the natural man, but that are extremely valuable. And we say, I could lose all of this in this world, because I am going after a city that is real and eternal. And that's where my focus is. And that's the will of God, that he wants us to be conformed to be a citizen of that place.
I mean, it's why Saul and Barnabas could be occupied with ministering to the Lord in Acts 13. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, separate Saul and Barnabas, so that I want them for my purpose. They're just occupied with the right things. Mm-hmm. And that's why Abraham, as he leaves the city where he has a lot of comfort and a lot of wealth and a lot of convenience, and goes to a place to find a city whose builder and maker is God. And he doesn't even know where that city is, but he knows God called me and that's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And there's comfort and there's encouragement. And, you know, just as we were, I was looking at the four photos there, the pictures, I was thinking about how, you know, you get into your 60s and not quite there yet, but I'm not far away. And you do a lot of reflecting. You start thinking about what you did in your life and what was important and what was a waste of time. And I can honestly say, I can honestly say that in Christ, even when there's challenges and rough spots, you know, the rapids are there and the demons are after you and there's pain and there's suffering. In Christ, you can just say, wow, it was worth it all.
Absolutely.
It was worth it all. You know, what did I do with my time? I gave it to the Lord, right? And we will never be sorry for that decision. We'll never be sorry for not, you know, giving our time. And that can involve things like investing in our family. I love that you're taking your kids to the museum. And the museum is awesome, and they'll learn something there. But also, they got an hour and a half in the car with you and mom, and they're just getting ministered to. You know, it's life. It's life, and it's such a beautiful thing. And God just wants us to be occupied with Him, and we won't have any regrets at the end of it. We'll just look back and we'll say, wow, the time that we spent was so fulfilling because it was in Him, and it was serving His purpose.
And if you're at home and you are a person who has prayer in your heart, pray.
Yes.
It's the will of God. I mean, that you can look at life and you can say, what am I doing in life? What am I doing for the kingdom of God? You're so valuable. Mm-hmm. And God has you exactly where He wants you to be. Just use your time to pray. Use your time to make phone calls. Use your time to edit. Whatever God leads you to do, just get the fundamentals right. Whatever's in your heart, just go do it. You're going to have a blast doing it.
Yeah, and I would just wrap this portion up by saying, again, we know there's certain things that God's very clear about. Studying His word, assembling together, you know, have a church, have a pulpit in your life, have a pastor, be submitted.
Love one another.
Love one another. Esteem one another higher than yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, wash the feet of your fellow believers and your fellow man. And all of those things, when we do that, you know, when we do that, when we walk in the things that God has just flat out told us, these are the non-negotiables, do them. Then He can lead us in the things that are the other things.
The other things.
The fine details of our life.
Get Philippians 2 in your mind.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you.
Yes.
Do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, considering others better than yourself.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you. If that's in your life on a daily basis, just go with what's in your heart because it's aligned with the Lord.
Yes, folks, and that's a wrap on our introduction to the topic this week. I think as you consider it, you know, you can think about those things that are fundamental to our lives that can lead you in the rest of the will of God. So tune in for the rest of this week. Hear some things about the will of God. Have a great Easter Monday. Enjoy the beautiful weather out there. And we'll see you again real soon. God bless you.